Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Mem Ches. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Ada bar Masna asked Abai a question about mochin, expensive, unprocessed wool that's generally used to produce felt, and therefore it's considered muksa. He wanted to know if mochin that was used to insulate food Erev Shabbos can be moved on Shabbos. In other words, does the fact that he's now using it for hatmana demonstrate that he's now permanently using it for hatmana and not for felt, and therefore it's no longer considered muksa? Abaya answered that just because a person did not have a box of cheap straw handy for insulating doesn't mean that he's renouncing a valuable box of mochin. Therefore, the mochin still remains muksa. Point number two, Rav Chisda taught that one can return stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. He does not consider this a violation of makah b'patish. The Gemara asked him Rav Chisda from a braisa that says that it's prohibited to place stuffing into a pillow on Yantav and even more so on Shabbos. The Gemara answers that Rav Chisda was referring to returning stuffing to an old pillow, meaning a pillow that was already stuffed. This is not considered fashioning a new pillow. The braisa, on the other hand, was referring to new pillows, meaning placing stuffing in pillows that had never been stuffed, which is considered fashioning them into a pillow, which would be forbidden. And point number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the one who opens up a neck opening in a garment for the first time on Shabbos is liable to bring a chatas because he violated the malacha of makah b'patish. Rav Kahana challenges from a braisa that permitted one to lop off the top of a sealed barrel with a sword in order to open a barrel to use its contents. So Rava answered Rav Kahana with ze chibur v'ze nechibur. The material of the shirt is bonded, while the lid of the barrel is not considered bonded to the barrel. Rashi explains that although the lid of the barrel was cemented onto the barrel, it was done with the intention to eventually remove the lid. Therefore, it's not considered bonded, and cutting it open is not deemed creating a new vessel. As opposed to this, in the case of making a neck opening in a garment, the material is completely attached, and therefore, by making a neck opening, one would be liable for makah b'patish. All right, so let's review. So point number one, Rav Ada bar Masna asked Abai a question about mochin, expensive, unprocessed wool that's generally used to produce felt, and therefore is considered muksa. He wanted to know if mochin that was used to insulate food Erev Shabbos can be moved on Shabbos. In other words, does the fact he's now using it for hatmana demonstrate that he's now permanently using it for hatmana and not for felt, and therefore it's no longer considered muksa? So Abai answered that just because a person did not have a box of cheap straw handy for insulating doesn't mean that he's renouncing a valuable box of mochin. Therefore, the mochin still remains muksa. Point number two, Rav Chisda taught that one can return a stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. He did not consider this a violation of makah b'patish. The Gemara asks on Rav Chisda from a braisa that says that it's prohibited to place stuffing into a pillow on Yantav and even more so on Shabbos. The Gemara answers that Rav Chisda was referring to returning stuffing to an old pillow, meaning a pillow that was already stuffed. This isn't considered fashioning a new pillow. The braisa, on the other hand, was referring to new pillows, meaning placing stuffing in pillows that had never been stuffed, which is considered fashioning them into a pillow, which would be forbidden. And point number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the one who opens up a neck opening in a garment for the first time on Shabbos is liable to bring a chatas because he violated the malacha makah b'patish. Rav Kahana challenges from a braisa that permitted one to lop off the top of a sealed barrel with a sword in order to open a barrel to use its contents. Rava answered Rav Kahana with Zechibur Vzeinechibur. The material of the shirt is bonded, while the lid of the barrel isn't considered bonded to the barrel. And Rashi explains that although the lid of the barrel was cemented onto the barrel, it was done with the intention to eventually remove the lid. Therefore, it's not considered bonded, and cutting it open is not deemed creating a new vessel. As opposed to this, in the case of making a neck opening in a garment, the material is completely attached, and therefore, by making a neck opening, one would be liable for makah b'patish. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman of Memches is moach, brain. We'll use brainiacs, like very brainy people. So here goes. The brainiacs were busy testing the expensive mochin fibers as insulation and pillow stuffing. Proudly wearing their new white lab shirts with neck openings, they were able to open on their own. Once again, in slow motion, the brainiacs, that means run daf Memches. The brainiacs were busy testing the expensive mochin fibers as insulation, which reminds us Rav Ada bar Masna asked Abai a question about mochin, expensive, unprocessed wool that's generally used to produce felt and is therefore considered muksa. He wants to know if mochin that was used to insulate food Erev Shabbos can be moved on Shabbos. In other words, does the fact that he's now using it for hatmana demonstrate that he's now permanently using it for hatmana and not for felt, and therefore it's no longer considered muksa? So Abai answered that just because the person didn't have a box of cheap straw handy for insulating doesn't mean that he's renouncing a valuable box of mochin. Therefore, the mochin still remains muksa. saw that Brainiacs were busy testing the expansive mochin fibers as insulation and pillow stuffing, which reminds us, Rav Chisda taught that one can return stuffing into a pillow on Shabbos. He doesn't consider this a violation of Makabah Patish. The Gemara asks on Rav Chisda from a Braisa that says that it's prohibited to place stuffing into a pillow on Yantav and even more so on Shabbos. The Gemara answers that Rav Chisda was referring to returning stuffing to an old pillow, meaning a pillow that was already stuffed. This is not considered fashioning a new pillow. The Braisa, on the other hand, was referring to new pillows, meaning placing stuffing in pillows that had never been stuffed, which is considered fashioning them into a pillow, which would be forbidden. So the Brainiacs were busy testing the expansive mochin fibers as insulation and pillow stuffing. Proudly wearing their new white lab shirts with neck openings, they were able to open on their own. Which reminds us, Rav Yudit said in the name of Rav, that one who opens a neck opening in a garment for the first time on Shabbos is liable to bring a chatas because he violated the malacha makabah patish. Rav Kahana challenges some of rights that permitted one to lop off the top of a sealed barrel with a sword in order to open a barrel to use its contents. So Rav answered Rav Kahana, Zechibur v'zeinichibur. The material of the shirt is bonded, while the lid of the barrel is not considered bonded to the barrel. Rashi explains that although the lid of the barrel was cemented onto the barrel, it was done with the intention to eventually remove the lid. Therefore, it's not considered bonded, and cutting it open is not deemed creating a new vessel. As opposed to this, in the case of making a neck opening in a garment, the material is completely attached, and therefore by making a neck opening, one would be liable for makabah patish. So once again, the Brainiacs were busy testing the expensive mochin fibers as insulation and pillow stuffing. Proudly wearing their new white lab shirts with neck openings, they were able to open on their own. All right, so now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Mem Dalet. So the symbol for Mem Dalet is mud. And I'm going to do a little simanim surgery here based on the input of Dr. David Shabbatai, who suggested just a switch in the order just to make more sense in terms of the flow. So here goes. Thanks, David, for this. The wooden coach with the removable wheel got stuck in the mud. Mud, that reminds us, we're on Daf Mem Dalet. So the wooden coach with a removable wheel got stuck in the mud, which reminds us the mission was brought from Kalim that teaches that in a case where a wooden coach has a removable wheel, the coach and wheel are considered two separate items. Therefore, if the coach becomes tamei, the wheel does not automatically become tamei with it. Also, the wheel is not measured with the coach to determine if it has a liquid volume of 40 saw or greater. An object 40 saw or greater is considered too large to be portable and therefore does not contract tuma. Also, in a case where the coach is large and serves as a barrier between a corpse and its contents, the wheel itself does not serve as a barrier and it becomes tamei. And finally, if money was on the wheel on Shabbos, the coach cannot be dragged since the wheel becomes a basis, ladava aser, a base for a forbidden object. So the wooden coach with a removable wheel got stuck in the mud, spilling out old, repugnant clay lamps, which reminds us the next mission introduces Malchokas regarding the muksa status of a lamp. The Tana Kama holds one may move a new lamp, but not an old lamp, because he holds a muksa makmas mios. An item becomes muksa due to it becoming repugnant, and a used clay lamp becomes repugnant after use. Rabbi Shimon holds one may move all lamps except for a lamp that is actually burning on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a muksa makmas mios. The Gemara later on will clarify that he prohibits moving a lit lamp because the wick and the oil become a base to the flame, which is muksa. So the wooden coach with a removable wheel got stuck in the mud, spilling out old repugnant clay lamps and a bed that had been designated to store money. Which reminds us of Yudah said in the name of Rav, that if someone verbally designated a bed for the storage of money and then placed money on it even during the week, it's subsequently forbidden to move on Shabbos, even if the money was removed before Shabbos. If he had never used it for money, then it would be permitted to use on Shabbos. The designation alone would not make the bed muksa. So once again, the whole simon is, the wooden coach with a removable wheel got stuck in the mud, spilling out old repugnant clay lamps and a bed that had been designated to store money. Daf Mem Hei. So the sim for Mem Hei is Monopoly, Monopoly game. So here goes. The Monopoly game, that means we're on Daf Mem Hei. Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat, which reminds us that Reish Lakish has Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Shimon hold that wheat that one planted in the ground or eggs or placed under a hen would be considered muksas since they were dachi b'yadayim, they were actively set aside. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Rabbi Shimon, nothing useful is muksa on the basis of having been set aside, except that which is similar to the oil in a Shabbos lamp while it's burning. Since the oil was set aside for a mitzvah, it was only set aside for the duration of the prohibition of the mitzvah, meaning as long as the lamp burns. The act of setting aside the wheat in the ground or placing the egg under the hen alone does not make a muksa. So the Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes, not fit for consumption. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no food that is mutz on the basis of being set aside other than figs and grapes that were set out to dry before Shabbos and have not yet dried out completely. Rashi explains that once the figs and grapes begin to bake in the sun, they're no longer fit for consumption, and therefore Rabbi Shimon concedes that they become muksa. Other foods that are somewhat edible do not become muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes not fit for consumption and suddenly dropped dead. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas where the Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that died on Shabbos is muksa. According to Mar Bar Meimar in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon concedes to Rabbi Yehuda that healthy animals which died on Shabbos are prohibited since the owner did not have a mind that the animal might die on Shabbos, in which case he could feed the carcass to his dogs. According to Mar, the son of Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda even here and permitted use of the healthy animals that died on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the healthy animal was never actively rejected from being used for dog food upon its death. Daf Mem Vav, so the symbol for Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes, the cow, that means we're on Daf Mem Vav. The cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth, which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding moving large menorahs that require both hands to move and small menorahs that only require one hand to move. They both agree that it's prohibited to move a large or small menorah if it's made of sections, chulios, and are concerned that if it fell apart, one would come to reassemble it and be liable for the malacha of Makub Bepatish, the final hammer blow. They also agree that a large menorah that has grooves is prohibited to move because someone might come to confuse it with a large menorah that has sections. They disagree regarding small menorahs with grooves. Rav Yochanan says the Rabban decreed they should not be moved as well. Reish Lakish says the Rabban did not decree that they should not be moved since small menorahs are usually made of one piece, so people won't come to think that a grooved one is sectional. So the cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth kicked a naphtha lamp that was being used to cover a utensil, which reminds us Rav Avi explained to Rava that the reason why Rava and Rav Yosef permitted moving a naphtha lamp on Shabbos, even though nothing can be placed inside it because it became repugnant, is that the lamp can still be used to cover a utensil. The difference between the naphtha lamp and scattered stones in the courtyard that can also be used to cover utensils but are nevertheless muksa is that the naphtha lamp has Torah's Kli Olah. It has the status of a vessel and therefore does not become muksa as long as it can be used for some function. The stones, on the other hand, never had Torah's Kli Olah. It never had the status of a vessel and therefore they're intrinsically muksa. So the cow carrying a small menorah with grooves in its mouth kicked the naphtha lamp that was being used to cover a utensil, which then hit a bechor on Yantav, causing a blemish, which no one had ever anticipated. Which reminds us, Abai pointed out a seeming contradiction in Rabbi Shimon who permits the use of the leftover oil in a lamp or a bowl on Shabbos, but does not permit the slaughtering of Bechor on Yantav, whose blemish, his mum, was not detected prior to Yantav. Rav explained that in the case of the oil, a person waits and anticipates the moment when his lamp will go out, and he'll be able to use the oil. Even though the oil was not available at Banish Shmashos, it becomes permissible when the moment arrives, according to Rabbi Shimon. In the case of the Bechor, it cannot be said that a person anticipates the arrival of a blemish to permit him to eat it. Even if a blemish comes, who's to say that it will develop a permanent blemish? And even if it develops a permanent blemish, who's to say that an expert, a mumcha, will come to inspect it? Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says the Bechor remains muksa. Daf Mem Zayin. So the symbol for Mem Zayin is a maze. A maze. So here goes. The contestants ran through the maze. Maze, that means we're on Daf Mem Zayin. The contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, which reminds us, Rabbi Zera quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes Rabbi Yehuda Anasi as permitting one to move a pen which is not muksa, even if there are ashes on it which are muksa. This seems to contradict a statement from Rabbi Yochanan elsewhere, which implied that if a basket only contained a stone, then it would become a basis l'dava aser, a base to a prohibited object, and therefore be muksa. So why is the pen with the leftover ashes not considered a basis l'dava aser? Rav explains that Rabbi permitted the pen to be moved because the ashes had been anticipated for later use to cover dirt, and therefore the ashes were not muksa. Rebbe's chiddush was that it was permitted to move the pan with the non-muksa ashes, even if there were muksa pieces of wood in it as well. So the contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, which reminds us, the final mission of the Perek permits placing a vessel under a lamp on Shabbos to catch the falling sparks. The Gemara asks, why is it permissible to do this, given that the falling sparks would make the vessel under the lamp a basis to muksa, and would therefore be a case of mevatel klum hechano, nullifying the preparedness of a vessel? Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehuda, answers that nitzotzos ein behen mamish, sparks have no substance, and therefore the vessel is not considered a basis to them. So the contestants ran through the maze with hot pans full of ash, with sparks flying everywhere, searching for the pile of olive gephas to place them on, which radiates heat, upwards. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the fourth parak forbids insulating pots before Shabbos with substances that add heat, that are mostly helpful to the food. One of the substances mentioned is gefes, a certain type of pulp. The Gemara wants to clarify if gefes is referring to all of gefes, whose heat is relatively intense, but sesame gefes, which is less intense, would be permitted to insulate with, or perhaps the mission is referring to sesame gefes, and all the more so all of gefes would be prohibited. A statement from Rabbi Zera that prohibited placing a box of insulated food on top of all of gefes was brought to prove that only all of gefes increases the heat of what it is insulating, its mosif hevel. The Gemara rejects this proof by saying that sesame gefes also increases heat, but it's just not strong enough to radiate heat upwards to the food on top of it, like all of gefes can. All right, so now we go to our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1, what do we learn about verbally designating a bed to store money? That's on Daf. Memdod, good. Number 2, where do we have the question whether one can put a vessel under falling sparks? If that would be a case of being Mavatal Kli Mehechano, that's on Daf. Mem Zion, good. Number 3, where do we have the Machlokes about a small menorah with grooves? If it's a case of Muksa, that's on Daf. Mem Vav, good. Number 4, where do we have the conditions for Chazara? That's on Daf. Lamed Ches, great. Number 5, where do we have the question whether Mochin used for Hatmana is no longer Muksa? That's on Daf. Memches, great. Number 6, where do you learn according to Rabbi Shimon that only figs and grapes set aside to dry are considered muksa? That's on Daf. Memhe, great. Number 7, where do the din of a cure that flared up after ketumah? That's on Daf. Mamad Zion, good. Number 8, where do you learn why one can't shech the bechor that developed a mum on Shabbos? According to Rabbi Shimon, that's on Daf. Memvav, good. Number 9, where do we have the machlokas about muks machmas mius regarding used clay lamps? That's on Daf. Memdod, great. And number 10, where do we learn the difference between stuffing old versus new pillows? That's on Daf. Memches, great. Now the 3 bonus questions from Brachas. Which Daf do we learn about Lechem Mishnah? That's on Daf. Lamites, good. Number 2, where do we learn what one should do if they forgot to make a bracha and they swallowed the food? That's on Daf. Nanav, good. And number 3, where do we learn that the gates of tears, the Shari Dima, are never closed? That's on Daf. Mamad Beis, excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.